Hello and welcome. It's Lisa.fm, the book club. We're doing Oprah's book club selection, A New Earth, chapter 10 of 10 chapters. We made it to the end. We have a great group with us today. I'm Lisa Osborne, joined by Scott Friedman, who's blogs at the Ventura County Star. He's been here for multiple weeks of our chat about A New Earth. Diane Sylvester of Soul Centered, a metaphysical shop in Ojai, California, is also here. Hello. And two ladies from the neighborhood, Sue and Kate, both here as well. Hello. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I love what's on 286 when he's talking about sometimes a meteor kind of hits your life. And it's the disruption of the outward movement. And you go, this is not meant to be happening. And usually it's events like this that cause a true change, like the people who've had near-death experiences, or even people who have suddenly been confronted with horrible events in their lives, or a betrayal, or something like this. That can often springboard, as it did with Eckhart Tolle, you know, the Enlightenment. And when we get this, the whole idea of the wounded healer, and we give up our story, and we don't like pull out our wounds for everybody to see. We get together for a little coffee, and we pull them all out, and we say, okay, here's all the
places
I've been.
And we're still holding on to them years and years later.
Exactly. So it's like blessing your wounds, and you know, and really, really seeing them as an assist in the dissolution of form, and then going to the next level. The whole thing about the beauty, mythology in our culture, and how he really talks about old age, and it particularly affects women in our society, the whole you must wear makeup, you must liposuck, you must, you know, pump something into your face, you must do all these things in order for us to love you enough. And you're not young anymore, so you're not worthy anymore. And I really, really, really know that this is a one-by-one decision. How we change this in our culture is by really celebrating age and really celebrating the wisdom, particularly of the grandmothers, but also of the grandfathers, because it just hasn't been honored at all, as he brings up in this chapter. And that is really where we've lost the soul in this country and in a lot of the Western countries, because it's all about youth and beauty, which fades for everybody. So it's attachment to endless desire. And it never makes us happy.
And he brings up at the end, toward the end, Oprah, of Chapter 10's webcast, she asked him a few personal questions, like people wanted to know how old Eckhart was, and he's 60, in case you missed that part of the webcast. But he also said the key to staying youthful is stop carrying the burdens of your past. You know, he doesn't even color his hair. I mean, hello? He's
I thought maybe.
He's 60. So by not carrying the burden of the past along with us and living in the present moment, aging of the body will slow down. That's what he says.
The true joy. That's what he talks about as well in the chapter, joy, enthusiasm, consciousness.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Acceptance, enjoyment, and enthusiasm. He suggests that whatever we're doing as we're awakened now and throughout our outer purpose is to be one of these three things. It's awakened doing. Either be an acceptance, you know, we accept the tasks that you're doing, not resisting it or not dreading having to do something. It'd be an enjoyment. And enthusiasm, because when you're enthusiastic, you're bringing the youthfulness forward and the in the now forward.
Well, if you have a really hard job, or you have a really hard home situation, or you have a really hard anything, the only thing you can do is acceptance, as opposed to protesting and complaining.
And the resistance, right.
The resistance is what grows it, because it's you're fighting against something. If you look at the martial arts, it's all about using the force and moving with it.
I think it's just a matter of really of how deeply centered the person is, because I mean, I have some difficult situations, and in my better moments, I look at that and I say, you know, this is fabulous. You know, I mean, this is really giving me an opportunity to anchor my center better. This is really giving me an opportunity to return pain and frustration with compassion, and it's really, this is a challenge for me to go deeper. So, I mean, it isn't just accepting that that's how it is. There, you know, I mean, I have worse moments too, but in my better moments, you know, I can look at that and I go like, you know what, this is cool. If I can really anchor a deeper love in the midst, in this environment, you know, I've grown, I've gotten stronger, and I'm going to have a better impact not only on me, but on other people too.
I think when Eckhart talked about acceptance, he says, accept this is how it is right now, instead of wishing it was some way else or complaining that it's this way or whatever. First you accept it, this is how it is, and then you come to it. What am I going to do to it with it, or what am I going to give to it, or how is it going to change me? Yeah.
And almost as soon as you accept it, it probably changes one way or the other. You know, it's just accepting it, not pushing against it, and kind of going against the flow.
Mm-hmm. And he suggests find the place of power that's in the present moment, and also to honor what you're doing in the moment fully and completely, because that's what's going to lead you to your destiny. And also, as we mentioned before, checking in and choose presence as much as possible throughout daily life. That was a big one in a past chapter of the book, is to just check in the present moment. Where are you at? What's going on? Are you resisting anything?
And it's kind of fun to practice, too. You know, during the day, you know, okay, you know, things you don't like doing, can I at least accept it? And things that I really enjoy, be aware that it's enjoyment, and kind of strive towards, you know, the enthusiasm, which is, you know, the third step.
I just think that, I mean, practice is such a, in my experience, is such a key element in all of this. I don't know of anybody personally that has done it all in one step. You know, everybody that I know, we've all kind of inched along, you know, and, and small inches
fall back
like that,
a little bit
know?
Sometimes, fall back,
know?
Move up.
And you know, and so I think that the encouragement of practice it a little bit, we get a little bit better, is something that is important to emphasize, because so too many people, I think, get discouraged when they don't see giant leaps and bounds overnight.
How did you vibe with the beginning of chapter 10 when it opens with the, it talks about how the universe came into existence 15 billion years ago. It's expanding now, and at some point it will reverse and return to the unmanifested and nothingness, and that's really the law of cycles.
Well, I liked it when he compared it to our individual lives, how that's what happens in our lives. You know, our lives expand and then they contract, and it's just so true.
For me, it really threw me outside of time. In the respect that being present is outside of time, and so there isn't really an expansion or a contraction or a universe or a not a universe. There's just is. And so that's what it really did for me, is it threw me outside of time. And I've really been very conscious over the years of what is within time and what is outside of time. And sort of love and peace and are outside of time, and my body and my business and my relationships with other people are inside of time.
I like that expression, the way you put that.
And how about being in the now? So we get that at this point? Mm-hmm. That now is always now, even though...
It's always the time now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the book, though, what I found so fascinating is to be the person who's watching the thinker, be the awareness that's watching the thinker.
But isn't it like things repeat until you get them, and then they come one more time just to make sure you knew that you could handle it, and then it doesn't show up anymore, and then it's on to the next version.
That's my experience, too.
So it's always going to be something.
So we're aware of that.
Right. We're aware that we're on a game board and that things are coming. And as Rosanna Dennis said, hey, if it's not one thing, it's another, you know?
Yeah. And you always say that it's like we're living in a video game. We're all in the video game, and here's what's going on.
And you've got your game character. See, I specialized in past life regression through hypnosis, and I did that for years and years and years. And I saw that everybody in all of these, quote, lifetimes, if you believe in them, and you don't have to believe in them, in these stories, not one king, not one princess, not one royal, not one anything, all the same lives, different time periods. And so when you can look at it like strings on a bead and you go, I'm eternal immortal consciousness, I've been here before, this is something, some reason I incarnated here for this little brief moment, and I get like only so much time to play with my character, and then poof, I'm off. So you might as well do it, you know, with full intention, with full integrity, with love, because I think you get more points that way in the game.
And have fun with it.
That's right. Have more fun with it. And have some fun, enthusiasm, joy, awareness. Yeah. All of this makes the game a lot easier, because there is stuff that makes us very unhappy if we focus on it.
So has the book been helped you to let go of stuff?
I think so. At the very beginning of the book, it talked about, you know, the voice in your head is not you. That was like such an eye-opener to me. He said it so simply, but I'm constantly thinking about that. If my mind starts, you know, going off on some, you know, strange thing, I think, that's not me, and kind of bring it back.
Isn't that
so
cool?
Yes.
That's really
yes. I love that.
Yes.
And he says things so simply. You know, he says something, you know, like that just hits you and say, of course, you know, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah, you get it all of a sudden, right?
Yeah.
You hear it and then you get it. And that's kind of how a lot of the book has been, too, as it unraveled.
I think one of the really exciting things in the chapter is the concept of, he says, you know, when you're conscious, you really live your life with a tremendous enthusiasm. And there's a just a wonderful sense of aliveness around that, you know, and a sense of experiencing our energy. I mean, the enormity of our energy and our power and stuff. Is it of all of the activities that we can do, those that are imbued with like huge enthusiasm are like seem to have like the most energy of what we can put out. To me, it's that whole concept is very synonymous with being more fully alive, and that's like very attractive, you know.
So we all want.
Well, that's actually a brilliant statement. It's very attractive. That is it.
Because you're attracting what you want to.
Yes. When you are full of radiant joy, everybody wants to help you, wants to give you, wants to be part of whatever you're up to, wants to find out what's she eating, you know? Yeah. It's like, you know, I'll have what she's having. We want that. We crave it. And so it's attractive, meaning, here, let me give you this. You're really smiling and happy. I want to help you out. Law of attraction. It's like the more joy, more radiance, more everything, things open up, like the doorways open up for your dreams to come true through this joy. It's actually a very self-full thing to do, is to be joyful, because then you're a fountain, not a drain, and people prefer fountains to drains.
Right. That's a great analogy.
Eckhart Tolle says on page 298, which you were talking about.
We love 298.
That's our page.
That's our page, man.
And a post-it.
It isn't the action you perform that you really enjoy, but the deep sense of aliveness that flows into it. The aliveness is one with who you are. And on the podcast, they made the distinction between joy and pleasure. And they said pleasure comes from outside of you. It's pleasing to you, to your ego. It's pleasing, you know. That's part of the fun. But joy comes from within you. The joy goes into what you do from within you. It goes out into what you do.
And the joy is outside of time.
And the joy is outside of time.
And on page 294, it talks about it's not what you do, but how you do what you do that determines whether you are fulfilling your destiny. And that was really powerful for me because, you know, everything's about, well, what are you doing? How busy are you? Not how are you? How are you being?
How are
it's
you
being
doing
rather
what
than
you're
doing.
And so many people in daily life, and we've talked about this in past episodes, that people are so busy doing that they don't have a chance to be.
The United States is a really fascinating country in some respects in that we use such a small percentage of the freedoms that we have because we're so unconsciously influenced by the social norms. One of the strongest closes they teach you in sales, or they used to anyway, is to say, well, what most people do is. Because they know that there's a very strong pull to go along with what everyone else is doing. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things is to embrace what is in this book is also to operate outside of what the dominant social norms are in our society.
Which age is a very big one, especially women getting older. The older man is lauded as Merlin. The older woman is the Halloween witch. Same hat, different visualization about what it means to get older. And like he says, the cute granny is the best you can achieve if you're lucky. What about really looking at the women
for their wisdom?
Well, within most of our families, there is a woman of age who probably you've gone to for assistance. Or a man. I mean, it's differentiating between sexes. It's ridiculous, but women have been more downtrodden. So just really in our own self as we age, you know, honoring that process, seeing the first wrinkle and celebrating it, just like your first moon time, it's just part of a cycle of incarnating, and this is what your game character is doing this year. We're not doing pimples on the face, now we're doing wrinkles. So it's just like, you know, it's just like a different stage, different hormones, you know, and it's being in acceptance and reverence and joyful acceptance of, woohoo, I'm a wisdom keeper.
What about, how did you think the way that the book ended? I heard it in audio and it was like, whoa, because I heard him say the words,
yes.
A new species is arising on the planet. It is arising now, and you are it.
And you are it.
So how did you feel when you got to the end of the book?
Well, I think what I understood him to say is that the world's getting more conscious, and clearly it has to in order to continue, so, okay. That's what I understood that to mean, is it's just the world is getting more conscious. I mean, we have more and more people going, you know, it's silly for us not to get along, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, and it's not just, it's not just one or two people now saying that. It's like hundreds of thousands of people are now saying, you know what, it's really silly for us to be fighting each other. And so, you know, that the consciousness is improving.
And it's great to be a part of it.
Yes.
Yes. Well, thank
it's
you.
It's exciting. That's the thing. It's like if we can get into the excitement of waking up every day and going, something wonderful is going to happen today. I wonder what it is, you know?
Woo-hoo.
Exactly.
That's good. Well, thank you so much for joining us here at the Lisa.fm Book Club. Thanks to all of our subscribers, whether you found us on iTunes or through Lisa.fm. We appreciate that. And thank you, Sue and Scott and Diane and Kate. And we look forward to talking with you again further as we explore our consciousness.
Great being here. Thank you.
Thanks. Keep up the good work.
Thanks. This is Lisa.fm.